Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy the message, and please study along with us.
Building this time is what we've been focused on doing, which is obeying God, first and foremost. Being in agreement with him and his commandments, what he requires of us, you know. And then from there, you and I and everybody else get in agreement together. But we first got to be in agreement with him, else it will never work. And that came to me in regard to the very first thing in regard to his commandments. Now, we know he's talking about the old covenant there, but as we look at Romans 13, I think it is, where Paul talks about the commandments and he says, love fulfill those commandments. And then, as we know, as we mentioned the other day, we'll go over to 1 John 3, then we've got basically two commandments, to believe on Jesus, put our trust in him, and keep it there, and then love as he commanded us. And I thought about that again today, too, because usually we're talking about loving as he loved us, which is John 13, 34, 35, I believe. But then it came back to me about loving God also, because that's a part of the reverence. You know, love is in there, in that definition. And so what came to mind was where the phrase first came up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which I think was Deuteronomy 6. And then it popped up again when Jesus got confronted by, I think, the Pharisees, trying to box him in and get some on him. In Matthew 22, they asked him, which is the first and great commandment? You know, we might look at that and then go back to what we're looking at now. But we want to include that in loving like he said love too, because he also said love the Lord thy God with all. Matter of fact, that's the first part. You know, because if I don't love him, how can I love you? So we don't usually mention that part. But it needs to be mentioned also, love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love each other like Jesus loved us as the Father directed him. So looking at all of that, to keep it in perspective, we're talking about, as you just ended up saying, obeying the Father and being determined to do that regardless of circumstance. Because we will convince of the danger that we find ourselves in to not obey, and it ain't worth it. You know, that's why Paul said, I exercise myself to always have a conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. And that's because he understood some stuff, and he understood, as you pointed out, the agreement and the consequences for breaking that agreement and the danger of letting the mind not be guarded, because it's all about the mind.
Yeah, and that's the thing that when you go back, and we can look at the scripture you were talking about particularly, but when you go back looking even under the Old Covenant, where a lot of the statutes and different laws on how to treat each other in there, God was setting it up to kind of legislate, if you would, what love looks like. When it comes to mine, as I looked at Nathan's parable or Nathan's story that he told David was, if someone's a traveler, if there's someone who is traveling through or coming through or whatever, then you don't treat them badly. You treat them right. You take care of them. You know, and he goes on to say, because you yourselves were strangers. If there's a stranger come through, you take care of them because you were a stranger once in Egypt. See, and all of that was Old Testament talk for this is how you love folks. This is how we treat people. All right. And so he gets real detailed. If someone does this, then you do that. Even when he got into the discipline part, you know, he put limits on where discipline went. If discipline had to go all the way to the execution, then, you know, it had to happen because otherwise it would affect everybody. But still, the laws were set up to be as lenient as possible. And that's demonstrating what love looks like. And so all that comes to mind. Where's the scripture you mentioned? Well,
first, let's go to Deuteronomy 6, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken. I used my notes on my phone.
Yeah, it comes in handy.
Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, I got over here.
Okay, yeah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest at thine house, in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates.
And real quick, like when I started reading that part you read about, talk about it and so forth and so forth, I started thinking about how we watch movies or anything. We're being mindful of what his morals are, and that's the criteria for what we're going to watch and why we're going to watch it. Even if it's something maybe that's not the best, I'll watch it just to see how they're violating it and how they got tricked, maybe. You know, because sometimes that comes in handy, because if we don't know what the enemy's doing and how some folk are getting trapped and deceived like Eve was, you know, we can't really help them unlearn or see what they need to see, I'll say. And so sometimes he'll prompt me to just watch it and see how they were deceived, and then you can use that at the opportunity when it arises to help somebody yourself.
Yeah, and that goes with some other things I was actually meditating on again today that also ties into all this, which New Testament, a couple of scriptures that go along with that, especially that part where we just read about walking and talking about it and discussing it all the time. Because I came out of the conversation Sunday wanting to get more time and get back into an atmosphere. When we look at being led, have our spirits trained to be led of God, and being attentive to the promptings and everything, and we go back even to the teachings we've done over the years from Ken Hagin on training the spirit, and you spend time on that last point of obeying the promptings of God, he really just goes that whole last session. I think it's about 5 sessions on it, because we know we dealt with each part of it, making the word of God first place, meditating on that word so we could know what's there, making sure we're doing what we're learning as we're learning and renewing our mind with the word of God. And then obeying the promptings as they come up. And it really gets into, first off, the fact that once we have totally renewed our mind to be one with God and be eye to eye with God. See, until then, we can't just trust any prompting that come up. See, this is kind of what we got into Sunday, and I want to really get back in there some and clarify it too as we get back in some of this other stuff. only when I've made up my mind and I have done the work, learning and doing, then it's to a point when no matter what prompt to come up, I don't even have to check it.
Well, not really. Because see, when you think about 1 Thessalonians 5, mm-hmm.
which is where we're going.
Yeah. Right. So what's the directive, though?
Prove all things.
Right. Which means we still have to check it. Still got to check it. Now, it won't take as much time to check it because, to your point, we see it easily. Just like I used the example in regard to trip one day, I think I said. I said 1 and 1 is 3. Well, he knows 1 and 1 ain't 3. He would know, you know. And even Ariella might not know because she's only 3. But 1 and 1 is 3. Well, they know from experience that's not true. You know, and really, when I said that, they instantly checked it.
That's a better way of saying it. That you don't have to check it.
Right.
It's an instant check.
Exactly.
The promptings that come up, there's an instant verification because I know scripture or the word or whatever that verifies the prompting.
Yeah. And to your point, it doesn't take us as long, even on something we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. Because God, the way he's teaching us, I look back at my ministry when he began to train me, it may take me maybe twice as long to catch something that I caught real quick, you know, but I still caught it. And what they did, it made my senses even sharper because I'm always checking, I'm always checking. It's the basics, like in basketball. When I learned what to watch for, one thing I learned that I don't see too many guys doing is I learned, watch my man I'm playing defense against and beware of the ball. I'm watching you, but I'm also watching that ball. See, I was taught you never lose sight of the ball and never lose sight of your man. And I've seen too many people ain't watching the man nor the ball at the same time. Or even sometimes the man in front of them, they're not watching it. Which is sad, because that's the basics of defense. Well, when we come to God's work in the warfare in which we find ourselves, it's the same way. And I was meditating the scripture you talked about some months ago about how David's men were trained and how they could sling a slingshot with left or right hand. Yeah. I came across that in the CD we were listening to, and I thought about you. Miss some bad boys. When you can sling a slingshot left hand or right hand and still hit what you're looking after, they had to practice that, but they kept themselves home. They stayed sharp.
Yeah, it reminds me of the movie about the samurai that Tom Cruise did some years back. How much the samurai trained to where they had the skills and to where, you know, just any old army wasn't going to touch them, you know. And so, and that's exactly what really jumped out at me as I meditate on it today, is the fact that we get to a point if we press on and continue, and that's the whole thing, getting to the point we press on and continue to the point where there are no gray areas to where there's knowledge I don't know. See, that's what Satan was hoping on with Jesus, is that there was a gray area. Yeah, you know the scripture, but do you know the full proper application? Because scripture says if you cast yourself off, he got your back. You know, now, do you really know the gray areas that get some people where their pride says, you're right, I'm going to show you or whatever, or I'm going to tempt God. Are the one, which I really got a bigger revelation on listening to someone break it down and teach a little bit of it over this last week, where he tempted him with giving him the, how do you put it, authority over the kingdoms or whatever. Because I know, see, this is what he don't say, and this is what we have to realize. This is something that really hit me, is that you came in order to regain the kingdom, save folks. I give you these. Satan was willing to sacrifice those kingdoms because he got proof to show it ain't gonna last if you just change so many folks. Ever since before Moses, before Noah, and then again, as soon as Noah got going again after that, it's only so long it's gonna last. Started out with just those 8 people after Noah. Wasn't long before, messed up again. So, yeah, I can give you these kingdoms. You can run them. Willing to do that. of course, that would have killed the fact that you're worshiping me instead of your father. And I know I get the folks back. So, I'm gonna say so. You look at that whole scenario, and those are where we have to really know enough of the word, the application, the this side, the that side, the other. It is written again about those same things, so that there is no way that I can get fooled up. And when I get to that point, then as the scripture teaches, I'll never fail. I'll never fall. But it's getting to that point.
See, the one thing I was going to say, though, is that if you could have got him to mess up at all, he'd have died. See, Jesus would have died spiritually.
Oh, okay.
See,
I got you.
And see, Satan knew that, which is why he was, as you point, so busy trying to deceive him, because if he had not, since he did grow up as a man and had to learn all these things,
right?
If he had not applied himself to be ready when God pushed him out there, then he could have messed up, and would have messed up, really. And then all of humanity would have been lost, including himself. But he knew that once God got everything to him, and he understood that, and he saw the severity of it, he understood the necessity to apply himself. You know, and not fail, because everything that God was doing was riding on him. And when you look at that, I think in the movie Matrix, the guy that betrayed him said something like, that's a heavy, right? Said somebody being heavy or something. I forget how he worded it now. But the idea was to flatter him and in the process still try to deceive him, you see. But the thing about it, though, is that this is where those that have learned come in, where the person who's been approached like Eve was, but they have the discipline to say, I don't know, and to come to pastor or sister pastor or whomever and ask the question. And then we can show them from the scriptures, and then they make a move. But as I said Sunday, they got to know, don't do anything until you know for sure. Let every step be established, like Proverbs 4 says. And let's go back to Samuel. His parents taught him all they could. He got the basics. But you get the basics down, everything else falls in place. Because he didn't even know enough really to even, we didn't know God at all. But he did know to go to the person he thought called him. And he did that consistently because he was determined. And I hadn't said this in the past and hadn't used that word determined until we got to look at this determination in regard to the honest ground. The honest ground is determined. They don't just want to do right for a while. They want to do right always. And that's the thing that jumped out at me about what Paul said. I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense. Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. Then Proverbs 28:14, I think, came to mind, where he says, happy is the man that feareth the Lord always. You see. And then, which goes back to your point about Paul, regardless of the circumstance, I can still be happy because I'm reverencing God. He's going to supply me. I'm obeying him. He's got to supply me. He's got to keep the covenant. So I can take a chill pill because it's going to be here. Because everything I see now is temporary. Yeah. But then I found another always today. I hadn't heard this one. I know I came across it in my 40-some-odd years of preaching. But this one is, it's in 1 Chronicles, I think. Just put another CD in the car today, and I was listening to it, and then he said that, and I said, boy, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16. And the actual verse is 15, but back up to verse 1 and read down through, because that's some great reading. But we'll stop at verse 15, because 15 is the thing that came to mind. Because we know that in Psalm 89, it says God is ever mindful of his covenant, right? I think that's right. That may be another one, though. On second thought, it may be another psalm. But no, Psalm 89 says he won't break his covenant. But I think I have to find it, the one that says he's ever mindful of his covenant.
Yeah, we just read that one the other day.
Right. But this one is talking about us. See, us. So you got it, Dave. 1 Chronicles 16, start on verse 1, and just work your way down through that, little brother.
Says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of. in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. You know, the bakers had to kick in. Talk about a rush. You got to come up with enough bread to give every man and woman in Israel a loaf of bread instead of sending them away hungry. Talking about a rush. I can see that kitchen manager now. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Zeal, Shemarimoth, and Jehiel, Mattithiah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps, but with Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also, and Jehaziel the priest, and with trumpets continually. I'm sorry. Did someone say that? With the priests with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac. And hath confirmed the same to Jacob for our law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. How much further were you wanting to go?
That's good.
Okay. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. And that brings me right back to what I was meditating on again today, which goes with also what you looked at when you took us to back in, was it Leviticus?
Deuteronomy.
We talked Sunday and this is what we're working on, getting the right terminology. I think Sherelle said something about staying connected. And what she was meaning is dealing with this and what comes from that, as well as some things I had said about doing due diligence on the constancy side of it. And I was reminded of a couple of scriptures, New Testament, that hits this same point on how we should live our lives. First, in Ephesians 5, we're talking about the fact that there's certain ways we should conduct ourselves and carry ourselves. He says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Use the same terminology over in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What he's doing, he's setting up, he's getting it to where we set an atmosphere. You know, Walter said something a few weeks ago, something that I was able to witness to, how we always keep music going in the house, keep an atmosphere where just praise going in the background and all that. And there's certain things we weed out that we don't see, don't hear, don't watch. All that's getting the atmosphere to where we're fellowshipping with God more intently. See, and that's what he was pointing to Old Testament-wise, and it's the same New Testament-wise. We set the atmosphere. It's not that we're getting to praise and worship and, you know, how doing, we know that the prophetic anointing oftentimes manifests itself in those atmospheres. That's why after praise and worship, Walter's habit of now, I mean, has for some time, okay, did he say something during praise and worship to any of you guys? Anyone receive something during that time? Because go back to Old Testament times, all the way through New Testament times, you see, as folks minister to the Lord, like it's talked about over in the book of Acts, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Lord says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. You know, those atmospheres where the spiritual gifts can kick in as God wills.
Well, but see, there again, the gifts can kick in anytime.
They can.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at and what scripture is showing it that they're more prevalent during certain times. That's why after praise and worship, you ask, did God speak to anyone? I know it can kick in. You just lay in bed or you watching TV. I know it can.
Right, right.
But I'm talking about atmospheres where like in the Old Testament, even where the prophet said, bring me a minstrel or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right. Okay. But see, you didn't say more prevalent. For you said, see, so I'm listening, see.
I understand. Tell me what I said.
What you said, you didn't say more prevalent during that time. Now, even speaking in tongues is easier during that time, you know, for me speaking in tongues, mm-hmm. because of the influence of the Holy Spirit doing praise, you know. But it does, in the atmosphere of praise, goes back to the scripture that says the Lord inhabits or lives in the praises of his people. We know he lives in us, too. But during that time of worship and praise, it's let's put it this way in regard to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a time that he was going to say something that somebody needed to hear, usually it's during that time even more so than otherwise,
okay.
by choice, you see. But he can do it at any time. It's just that, and I did that.
Now, before. I thought I said that, but go ahead. Obviously, I didn't. Go ahead.
Well, but see, you did it when I asked you about it. Then you said more prevalent, see.
No, I started out where he can speak at any time, but I probably didn't because I'm thinking and trying to get it out. So
okay, no, well,
it's cool.
No, the only thing is that when we look at the latter side of it, in the sense of let's put it this way, and your point about the old prophets and how this one prophet said, "Bring me a minstrel," mm-hmm. and during that time when the minstrel's playing, that's when God spoke and gave him the prophecy, you know, as we know. But what happens is that, see, God was with them,
mm-hmm.
which means what? He was not in them.
Right.
Okay, but he's in us. He actually lives in us. So it doesn't, as you point out, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't praise him or that he's changed it up in that sense. No, it doesn't. But the point is about it is that since with his new coming, since he's in us now, he can do it anytime he chooses to, and he does all during the day. Just like he did with them back then too, some of them, you know.
He does, let me get a little clarity. He does manifest all during the day.
Certain gifts.
Ministry gifts.
Yeah, ministry gifts. And as you pointed out, we talked about the ministry gifts, not just the preachers, the body of Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
remember, Paul told the Corinthian church, you all, not just preachers, come behind and
no gifts.
So the gifts of the Spirit were prevalent. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, all nine gifts were. But they were so caught up on the gifts, they ignored the main one, which you talked about earlier, which is love. So Paul had to write that love chapter to get them to rein them in because they were just prophesying and prophesying too long in some areas, you know, and so forth. All the gifts are in operation. But to the point about praise, I learned that working with Clarence, because during the praise, God spoke to me. I'm not going to get on all that. Just remind you, he spoke to me during that time. And I didn't realize that was for me to get out. So I just sat down. And then Clarence, being an apostle, he said, when you are in praise, see, this is the key. When you are in praise corporately, when you're in praise, that God is saying, and not just for you, it's for the whole congregation. I said, oh, because I thought it was just for me, like when I'm at home, you know. And so I waved my hand. I stood and said, I heard the Lord. I said, thus and so. When I became pastor, to your point, I installed it from the get-go. Because I know often doing praise, God will speak. Because to your point, the atmosphere is conducive for him to speak and easier. Even when it comes to tongues. We know, those that do speak in tongues, we know it's easier when the anointing is stronger. You're on automatic almost. But after a while, even when we first learned how to cooperate with God and speak in tongues, as I did the night when Amanda came in with the pamphlet, it was easy then, but I did it by faith. But I went on automatic. Now, when I'm up and the anointing is strong, I can just open my mouth and it's just coming out. Why? Because of the anointing is pushing it. You see, and so what the average person tries to do that I've warned them about is when we praise God because he's worthy of praise, which is why little Dave says what he says sometimes. But a lot of the prophets and prophetess and the apostles, you know why they're praising him? They're trying to get in an atmosphere. They're trying to get in that place where they hear from God rather than just praise God. And if God wants to talk, let him talk. See, I'm going to say that one more time. The idea for praise is to praise him because he's due. Don't praise him looking to hear and yada, yada, yada. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just praise him because he's worthy with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if he wants to talk, he will. If he don't, he won't. But let our attention is doing reverence to him. To him and our Father. Our Lord Jesus and our Father. And we do that. But we have to help others understand to not tonight, and how to remind us too, because I see sometimes some people, I think they're trying to get into that place where they want to be able to prophesy. And so they'll sing. This is what a brother of mine did in Pine Bluff. I watched him do it for an hour, literally an hour. The congregation was standing, singing, trying to get to that place where I can come up and I can teach him. But to your point, it is more prevalent doing praise. Because one thing, we're corporately, and then two, we're in praise. But the idea, once again, is let praise be for praise. Because God can speak anytime. He can speak anytime. Sunday, y'all do know we need sunshine every day, right? We need at least 20 minutes. Vitamin D and melatonin, I found out. And melatonin, you know, it helps you sleep at night. Your body, it'll make it at a certain time you go to bed, but by this gland, I forget which gland, pineal gland, I think it is, pineal gland, anyhow, the point is about it is that we need at least 20 minutes of sunshine. Melatonin does more than make us sleep, though, I found out. And so I made a point to leave the computer room and go outside around 12, 30, 1 o'clock and spend at least 20 minutes out there. But since I got your work to do, I can spend 45 minutes, an hour out there. Then I go back inside and then sit down. So Sunday, I'm here. So I can't get no sunshine because I'm inside the building. But while she's going to get dinner, I said, why don't you go to Tzatziki's? I feel like, see what Tzatziki's doing now, because they messed us up a few months ago and I cut them loose. You know, so I went outside on the porch, sitting with my back to my side to the east, facing the west, and the sunshine's in my face. And I'm going to sit there. I'm thinking, boy, 20 minutes would be a long time just be sitting here. But about 10 minutes, I heard this voice come up behind me. He greeted me, and it was one of my neighbors down the street, James Hall. And we got to shooting the breeze and talking, and time went by. And I'm thinking, I gotta get back inside.
I've been born in 20 minutes now.
Exactly. And then, but while I'm sitting there, I didn't have the peace. Talk about letting the peace of God control us or rule us. I didn't have the peace to just, because I could have just stood up and said, well, start walking. The thought came, stand up, and then just, I did stand up. And I was going to start backing up. And, well, I see you, James, and going in the house, see, with a big old smile and cut it off. Because I know how to do that, see, still. Anyhow, but I stood up. And then, faintly, the thought came, asking where his place of worship is. Rufus King up there on Main Street. And then I sat down. And then, long story short, kind of find out he's a prophet. Been holding these conversations with God all this time. And we got to a good hour, really. And in the process, he said, I just told God last week, it's got to be more. I'm missing something. He said, our conversation today answered my prayer. And I thought, look at you, Lord, just set that thing up. But it was just the thought of go outside and get some sun. So I sat down there. And when I got ready to get up, I just couldn't leave. I didn't have a peace to leave. So I sat down again. And that was an example of God leading me. I didn't never heard a voice, but then I was prompted to ask, you know, the place of worship. Then I talked about, I asked him, did God ever give you dreams? And he talked about God, him and God talking and so forth. He says, that's been all his life since he's a little boy, around 10 years old, you know. And he's 69 years old. Not 68. I got him by 4 years. But he's a prophet. So I went inside and printed it out for him and gave it to him. Said, go on and read this, James. And he said, all these years, nobody ever told me. So I understand. I just learned it myself, you know, a few years ago. But that's the case where God, by his spirit, set up a situation because he knew James was getting some sun, too. He was walking them down Park Street, you see. But God gave us I ain't got to go into all that because my time's getting away. But my point about it is that you're right. But we want to let people know that even though that's true, don't let that sway your praising him. Because if you do, you'll praise him looking for hear him say something rather than praising him. And if you want to talk, fine. If you don't want to talk, that's fine too. It is a temptation. I've had to fight it sometimes. And that was years ago. But when we know this and how the enemy works, which is what Dave was talking about, which is very true, we know how the enemy works. Then we can't let our minds drift to that point. It's true, it's more prevalent doing praise, but that's not why I'm praising him. Now, to your point, and the point we made, the scripture says, that prophet did call for a minstrel. See, because with him, evidently, that was the way God always manifested himself with during that time, even though God was with him. And in my life, before I became an apostle, I usually get up to preach after the choir sings, you remember? Mm-hmm. And I still do it sometimes now, but when he made me an apostle, he purposely had the anointing on me before I had to obey him when we were at St. Deewood Hills place. And I'm weeping, sitting there, let me lay hands, now, let me pray now. But I knew it wasn't time. And when the time came, I don't feel nothing. The folk getting ready to go home. And the little voice say, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to obey God. And so I raised my hand and I wouldn't talk to the pastor though. But when the pastor said, you know, there's somebody here, God told him to pray for somebody. At this time, when folk ready to go home, get the benediction, he said, I'm going to let him do it. So I stood up and I said, today I was at work and the Lord said, pray for St. David Hill. And when I said that, woke up, power of God went from zero to full blast. And folk just jumped straight up and then just rolling out of me. But see, he was teaching me, you want to always have that luxury for the choir to minister like I used to, because I'm going to send you some places where you just got to know I'm in you. And whatever you need to say, that I told you to say, you say it and I'll do my part. So I just obeyed him. I mean, it might have been him asking me. I don't know. I just heard somebody ask me, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to obey God. See, and then when my time came, I stood up. I didn't even feel like I feel now. I feel pretty good now, but I don't feel like I felt when I had to set up that night. I didn't feel nothing. But how many of you know it's not about feelings?
I know. I mean, all you prophets might have. What I'm getting from a lot of this is a lot of this.
You're preaching.
A lot
you're
of these are ministry specific things that you're talking about. Very rarely am I feeling something and feel prompted because I'm feeling something to pray in tongue, or it's easier to pray in tongues, whatever. Usually it's just out of faith or out of a prompting in my mind spend some time praying in the spirit or whatever. So this is some prophet specific stuff and apostle specific stuff mostly, which is why I can say, I know what you mean. It ain't about feelings, because if it was, you know, I pray in tongues once a week or so, you know. but and so that's why it's really good, as Karen always reminds me, how our ministries complement each other, because there's a lot of all that that I talk to you guys and share on because of his testimony or Hagen's testimony and some things that God revealed to him. Something he was saying, Jesus told him, I was listening today, that it'll come back to me. Oh, well, Jesus told him, now, I'm not going to lead you, and this is where this also gets into. I'm not going to lead you like this anymore, showing up and telling him what to do. You have to do lead you like I do everybody else, follow the inward witness, which gets into what Walter's talking about. Now, looking for no feelings, I've got enough of the word and the understanding of the word, and I'm used to walking in the word, to where the inward witness, however it manifests in whomever, whatever, with me, it could just be the thought that comes. And usually that thought will come just out of the blue, and I know that's something that God's prompted me to do like that, you know. And it goes back to a message I heard Fred Price preach one time, talking about all the gifts and all the manifestations. All that's good. God manifests them and all that, but you got to walk by faith in the word on a day-to-day basis. It ain't about God don't lead you day-to-day by the gifts of the Spirit kicking in. You got to learn how to learn the word and walk by faith in the word and follow that inward witness, which is what I was getting to. And so, because I know that's with me how I normally function, keeping praise music and stuff, keeping the atmosphere. And it's not so that I hear from God, it's so that my mind won't get off on some other stuff. See? Because if I don't have the praise music going on, I'm being turned on a cowboy movie or something like that. Because, you know, your mind gets wandering, and I'm searching out something else online, and then a thought comes to check something. And before you know it, I go down the rabbit hole, and I'm way over here, you know. And so it's keeping the mind narrowed in. Yeah, get a mic, Griggs. Definitely don't want to miss you saying something. You said something about once a month, bro. I'll just mess with you.
No, I know. Testing. Okay, I'm actually on there. But, I mean, you're right, especially if you have some things that's been on your heart and so forth. But I notice at certain times when things are weighing on me, mm-hmm. with all that's going on through the day, this website, I'm getting a phone call, I'm always dealing with other people's problems. Specific, usually computer problems, but also other problems. Family, I've got a lot of things going on there. But a lot of times, and then I know we've all experienced this because all of us are ministers that are here now, that calling gets on my heart to where I got to turn that stuff off and turn on some praise music.
Yeah.
And just rest my, I know it's my soul. It cries out to it, and you're right. Turn off all this other stuff. And just have some time with God. I've been there many a time now, seemingly a lot more so within this last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
I find myself feeling a need to, because we all have certain songs that minister to us, certain things I can turn on that will encourage, and like I said, you get that fellowship going.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and real quick, I'll get back to you, Dave. It's that's why I kept asking Sherelle at least twice, what does she mean by connected?
Exactly.
And when she said what she meant, which was standing relationship, I said, no, we got a relationship. But what she actually was trying to say, which we did read the scripture on, is draw nigh to God. So when we turn off everything else and spend that time talking to him and praising him, as you pointed out, we're actually drawing closer to him. You know, yeah. It's like even with the husband and wife. If we look at it,
that's exactly
between the husband and wife, when I'm not going all the way there, but, you know, there's time to put the music on and, you know. You know? Anyhow, we ran along. We draw close to each other. Well, we draw close to Jesus, too. We draw close to God, you see. And so, and in doing so, we cultivate the relationship. You know, we get closer. And if anything comes up, and there are times when we just land there, listen to the music, because she'll put, what's that guy's name? Meditation, morning meditation. What's his name, Amanda? Ben Tankard. If we put Ben Tankard on, he got a long one. It's about an hour and a half long with no commercial. I said, I like that one. Put that on. You know, so we listen to that. And during that time, we just talk it. And then I might bring up this, she might bring up that. And we'll be sharing heart-to-heart things. Just laying there spending some quality time together. And that's what it is. And then my mind went back to Rayfield's prophecy, as well as Prophet Barnes. He talked about me drawing close to God. And in that time of ministering, you know, God pouring into my soul and yada, yada, yada. Because I value that time. And as I was looking at another aspect of it, what we're really doing in Philippians 4, we're keeping our mind on those things that are yada, yada, peaceful, good news, so forth, because it gives us peace that passes all understanding. You see? And besides that, we're ministering to our Father when it comes to music. You know, but like right now in the car, I don't have music going. I put a CD of the Bible in there because there's some verses of scripture. Unless I'm studying it, I don't come across them. So I put them in the car. And then while we're riding, we'll listen to the Babylon tape. I mean, Babylon CD. By catching.
Yeah. Anybody else while we're here? Grab your mic back.
You were at talking about Jesus in the wilderness. And I've been meditating that for... I'm meditating at it because I hadn't gotten the answer. But I don't know if you're going to get back there or what, but I'll go ahead and pose my question. It may be something we have to shelve. Mm-hmm. I was looking at Luke 4. And I kept getting stuck. Let's see, verse 5, Luke 4, verse 5, and the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The other place is, and verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. Are we talking about, is this scripture saying that in his mind, in Jesus' mind, he did these things, or did he
physically take him there?
Physically take him. And then the other part of that is, did Jesus let him?
You gotta first establish whether it's up there or not.
You got to first establish whether the devil took him on top of the temple or whether he just in his mind took him there.
Okay.
See, once you get that established, then the next part, the answer itself, you know, but you got to start with the first things first. And matter of fact, did you go to the commentaries and see what they said about it?
No, that was where I was saying I was almost meditating.
Well, that's what you do. Outlines, if you notice, sometimes the whole outline is all commentary. Not my thoughts at all. It's because what they're saying, I agree with, obviously. But the point is that what they're saying, I would say too. But I'd rather have them say it than me, because usually about 9 or 10 times, 8 out of 10, they're saying something I wouldn't even say because I don't know what they're saying. But I do know it's true, you know. But I like the way they put that, and so I'll have theirs in there.
Okay.
Theirs in there. But there's many a time where I've got a question about something like this, and I just go check the commentaries. Because I can recognize the truth when it comes. It's just that he's already done the studying. And so if I just find them how he says it, then sometimes I got to start at the very top and go to every last commentary. And it takes that for some of them. And I've done that with some questions and went through Study Light and Bible Hub, and nobody had the answer. But then I got quiet and God gave it to me.
And that's where you got more consistency, I'll say, and patience than I do. Because once I read through four of them and they're all saying stuff that's messed up, I'm like, forget the commentary. Let me move on. Because you're right. I've gone to them and everybody's saying something messed up. Everybody's saying something that I know don't go with scripture.
Right, right.
And like you're saying, I might not know what the answer is, But I know scripture that can show me what it ain't.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. In thinking about it, I was thinking Jesus is our example. Mm-hmm. And
let me get you to hold it now, because time's getting away.
Okay.
And I want David to have these last 5 minutes, because he has another thought he wanted to share. So let's hold that. And meantime, you can go to commentaries, because I did show how to do that. You see. And then she can go to commentaries, and then she can get us a report maybe next time. But you got it, Dave.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't even remember which point you were particularly.
You were talking about the time we spend ministering to the Lord, and in essence, drawing close to Him. You know, and how that atmosphere during that time, God is a time where He is more apt to speak, and it's more prevalent that He will speak during that time, you know. But we know that he can speak any time, but when we're spending that quality time with Him, often He will speak at that time, you know. And so that's where you were when we were talking about it.
Yeah, and another other couple of points I had about that was I was looking at Hebrews 12:15, which goes right along with the first Thessalonians 5:21, where he's dealing with looking diligently, or was dealing with watching diligently, inspecting diligently, overseeing and looking after and caring for diligently, lest any man fail of the grace, or lacking of grace, or come behind or come short of the grace of God. Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't have it pulled up. I just had what I put in my notes. I got you. It's Hebrews 12, starting with verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Okay. Then he goes on into, lest there be any fornicators and profane person. He goes through this whole list of things, but all coming from the fact that we're to be looking diligently, which came from my meditating on 1 Thessalonians 5:21, there at the end of the outline. Examining all things and holding fast what's good. Of course, you know, so that's our lifestyle. That's a lifestyle that he's getting into, which is what led me into the lifestyle also. We talked about speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all that. That's just a lifestyle. While I'm at work, while I'm bebopping around the house, while I'm riding in the car, whatever, there's certain things we do to where that's part of our lifestyle. And that's something that I learned many years ago. And it wasn't from sensing any kind of a prophetic anointing or whatever. It's just, I know, put certain things on your mind, it takes care of the other mess that wants to get on your mind. And it keeps your mind straight. And it's atmosphere we set for the kids, certain music that they listen to coming up once we got some sense and learned certain stuff they didn't need to listen to and all that. And that helps keep the right things on their mind. And so that's where I was going with it. And just that last scripture that Walter has on that outline about understanding, the good understanding is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Don't fashion ourselves like this world, would be changed by the renewing of our minds, the renovating, the renewing of your mind. We always watch these renovation shows. Karen can watch them all evening. Either that, she can go between the renovations and the cooking shows. And so they're always doing these renovations, you know. And I might get tired of them, but I'm taking some notes too. Got some more renovations about to pop off. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so like Walt said, it's all about the mind, the intellect, that faculty or ability of the human soul or mind which receives or comprehends the ideals communicated to it by the senses or by perception or by other means, the faculty of thinking. And it ties back in, as I'm sure you guys will jump back on Sunday, probably back into Nathan and David and the conscience, that faculty of the mind that decides, all right, that's all that ties together. A clear intellect receives and entertains, which means it keeps, holds on to, maintains in the mind with favor the same ideas which another communicates with perspicuity, which is easiness to be understood. Clear, able to perceive or understand clearly, keen, penetrating, quick to discover, discriminating, making careful or fine distinctions, especially as to quality or accuracy. What we were just talking about with Amanda when we were talking about going to the different commentators, looking at the be able to fine-tune what's discriminating, I mean, to be able to discriminate between what's right and what's not, quality and accuracy, as a clear intellect, a clear head, to be able to have that clarity about what we're hearing, what we're receiving. Improve gets into to approve. Like and sustain is right. Show to be real or true. What is truth? To be able to show what is real or true. Discern, to see or understand the difference, to make distinction, as to discern between good and evil, truth and falsehood. So that's all is coming from our study, basically, of Psalm 111:10, the fact that you're going to know if I got a good understanding by what I do and I'm going to be doing based on how clearly me and God are seeing things the same way as far as what his commandments are with obeying him and not offending man too, because it's all going to tie together.
The only thing I'll add to that is that seeing it, as you just tied in at the very last part, and then being determined to keep that agreement between him and I. Because, yeah. See, I agree with him now, but let something come up I like or some pleasure I want to do, like David did, am I going to stay with the agreement or am I going to break the agreement? Right. You see, now if I keep the agreement, then we still got that good understanding. But if I break the agreement, now we got a problem. And that's what David did see. This is where the good heart comes in. So Sunday, little Dave, what we'll do, we'll back up to Luke 8 as the Lord leads and spend some time there looking at the determination to do right, to keep those commandments you started out talking about tonight, David, to keep that commandment to love and treat folk right anyhow. And if I get determined to do it, well, I'm going to love anyhow, then the devil's in trouble.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45, and on Wednesday nights we have Bible study from 7 to 8. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. And until next time, continue to walk in the footsteps of Christ and love as He commands.